We have had a lot happening in the last week since the last time we podcasted outside of wrestling. J. Cole dropped his double disc, The Fall Off, which he first dropped it as like his last album. He already came out and said he's not done, but he may just not release music the way he was before, which is all good, which is all good. We had the Super Bowl.
So he's retiring like these Hall of Famers. Continue.
Hey, and something that probably need to retire, but have not yet. But the Super Bowl happened. We had the Pistons bringing it back to the Bad Boy era. You know what I'm saying? Number one in the East. I'm sure today is Wednesday. I'm sure all of our male listeners are scrambling and running around like a chicken with their head cut off because Valentine's Day is this weekend, trying to figure out the perfect Valentine's Day to give, because we all know none of these holidays are for the guys. They're for the women. But even with all that being said, even if we weren't a wrestling podcast, the biggest thing that's happened since last time we podcasted was that Roman Reigns and CM Punk segment. We're going to get to it. Welcome to the TFW podcast. That's Freakin' Wrestling, episode 235. The best kept secret in wrestling podcast. Today, you guys know who we be. That lady right over there is the beautiful Rhodesia. Back in the D. Back in Michigan. What up, though? Y'all know me. Favorite talker on these wrestling streets, Matt. And I wanted to get to it. Man, it feels like every time we can't stick to our cadence, it feels like it's been weeks and weeks and weeks since the last time we potted. But it's really only been nine days or so.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So we potted last Monday. We did the special Royal Rumble review show. And shout out to everybody who enjoyed that episode. Got some great feedback on that one. So we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. As I always say, if you love what we're doing, y'all know what to do, man. Push that button on your screen right now. Either it's follow, either it's whatever. Y'all know what to do. Just do it. Just do it. Right? what are you doing right now?
I was saying, like, love, okay, and share. Because I realize love is not, like, really a thing. Like, for YouTube, I guess. I don't think it is. Maybe the comments is love.
Yeah, it is. No, this okay. is absolutely
but
like
this was thumbs a share. Up. This is a share.
Got it. So you're like ASL. You could be the people who, like, do the whole Star Spangled Banner before the game and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You sure?
Nope.
All right, look, I want to get to it, man. And for a lot of people, this is probably like, oh, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it. So I want to get to it. That Roman Reigns CM Punk segment. So let's give a little bit of background. Everybody knows who our listeners of the pod. We were moving around last week. So we had been in Spain for the last couple months, and then we left on Monday night, actually, or depending on how you look at it, Tuesday morning, however you want to look at it. Yep, so we didn't get a chance to watch Raw. But I probably got about four or five messages Monday after the show. And it was about Roman Reigns and CM Punk. And we had talked on this show, you know, almost 3 weeks ago now, that the planned match of Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns 3 at WrestleMania had been put to the side. Triple H canceled it. And we went all deep into the reasons why and all that. So if you have not listened or seen that, go back and check that out. We won't rehash that. But so I know, of course, the match is going to be CM Punk versus Roman Reigns. So when I heard that Roman's going to be on Raw, I'm like, man, that seems really early for them to show that this is the main event of WrestleMania. They still got Chamber in Chicago. So I know Punk's work in Chicago. So I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. But nobody's telling me, of course, what it is. So I'm like, all right, well, you know, when we get to, you know, Detroit, I'll watch it. So I went blind until like Wednesday. We didn't get a chance to watch it. So when I got a second, I'm like, let me just watch the segment and I'll go back and watch the show later. So we watched the segment, and before we even watched the segment, for me, what I wanted out of that segment was, I know this is the second option. Is it going to come across like that? Right? Is it going to feel thrown together like the triple threat match did last year? Mm-hmm. And about halfway through, my worries were no longer worries. In 15, I think that segment was 14 minutes. 13 minutes, I think, from the time Roman started talking to the time they went off the air. They went from a lot of apathy in the wrestling community of, oh my God, Roman Reigns wins again, the Royal Rumble. They couldn't do anything new. Why Roman again? Let's build new stars. They went from a lot of that to a bona fide, legit night two WrestleMania main event. When you watch the promo segment, what was the thoughts? What was the feels for you?
Man, it's so many because, and I've actually watched this promo 3 times now. I don't think I've ever watched something that many times. I've watched it 3 times because I know that I was going to miss something. Because the first time, I'm just more in shock and awe. Like, oh my God, they're going there. They're going there. Whoa. Oh, they're going there. Oh, they're going there. Second time, like, okay, not as much shock of they're going there because now I'm trying to understand like these little insider terms and what happened back then and who on what podcast. And like, you know, I'm trying to now, I have a little bit more assessment of what happened. I can try to take it in. Then I listen to it for a third time, just for what it is. One, as if I didn't know anything about what was going on versus kind of knowing all the insider part of it too. And each time it got better. And now on this third time, me being able to appreciate it both ways, being as, and let me backtrack for 1 second. There's a lot of times where we would talk about, people talk about insider terms and something that happened that only certain fans or certain groups of people will know. And like, that's not always fun for people who don't know to listen in and to absorb it. But now going back, watching it the third time, it didn't matter because what they did and what they executed in that promo between the two of them, two masters at it, it didn't matter. It made it even much more better for somebody who knows those insider things that happened. But not just being somebody watching for the first time, you are completely enjoying what you're seeing because you can, again, kind of with the Cody, I'm not Cody, I'm sorry, with CM Punk and Seth, kind of like they had the hate for each other, hate, word hate. That's kind of what you actually felt through the TV between the two of these guys, mainly on Roman's side. So for me,
it
was just...
I hate you. I've always hated you. And to your point, what was so good about that segment, and that's why, like, you... This is why I'm such a Roman Reigns fan. As much as I put over Cody, as much as I love Cody on the microphone, and I think he's one of the better... of course, talkers in the company. Nobody else could do what Roman did last Monday night. That is under contract to WWE right now. And I'm talking the full gamut of what he did. I'm talking making his point crystal clear in storyline and kayfabe, along with interweaving the, you know, quote unquote, mm-hmm. shoot stuff, along with still using his words and his inflections where he needed to, and probably what I was most impressed with. So I'm sitting there, and like, once again, I'm watching, and I'm like, okay, I know this is not priority A. It was not. Okay, so let's see what this looks like. And we know Heyman's involved with this, so I know it's got to be good, right? Like, yeah. This is Roman Reigns versus CM Punk. If you throw out last year's triple threat, this is kind of what we've been waiting on. Where are they going to pick up from it? Are they just going to rest on, hey, we wrestled last year, triple threat, I'm getting my lick back, right? Or are we going to go even deeper? And that was what I loved and enjoyed so much of it. They brought everything around. Punk brought up I brought you guys into this company 10 years ago. And I've always said, like, with Roman has, even in matches, there's another gear you got to get to be special, like in the ring.
Yeah.
And he has that gear as a promo. Now, does it work the same if he's there every week? No, but he's put his time in already, right? So that's not even an excuse anymore. Hell, as he said, Punk's been gone for, you know, however long he's been gone from WWE. So some of his stick wouldn't work anymore if he had been there the entire time. But what I loved, and this is like really geeking out, is when he hit the line about the podcast. About him going on Colt Cabana's podcast and making my job and my life much harder than it needed to. And I'm sure everybody knows, but just in case, if you don't know what that line was about, was when Punk left WWE, he went on Colt Cabana's podcast and he talked about when the Shield came in, Vince always would tell Punk, make Roman look good. That was like his last thing before he left Gorilla. Make Roman look good. Roman's next up. Make him look good. Make him look good. So now what that did for the fan base was they already pissed off Punk's not with WWE. Right. So WWE to Punk's fans' eyes is enemy number one, which they should have been. Fired him on his wedding day, et cetera, et cetera. We know the whole thing. And now, oh, you're trying to crown this guy? So he's now the reason Punk left in wrestling fans' minds. They could have easily deep dived that more in that promo segment. And it could have been the catalyst for this match. But no, he hit that line for people who know, and he kept going. He didn't pause so the crowd could ooh and ah. He didn't stick on it. He hit that line, and then he went right back to storyline. Right? I shook your hand like a man at Survivor Series, and what'd you do? You young boy me. You mocked me going up like the ramp. I was like, this is tremendous. This is tremendous work, because that's what we're doing right now. We're working. We got to sell this as one of the bigger matches for WrestleMania night two, because we're hitting night two. This ain't a night one main event. Newsflash. This is night two main event. Right? So we got to do what we got to do to get to that point right now. And then for them, for him to bring it home the way he did, right? And all you have to know if it worked is when he hit that line, acknowledge me. You will acknowledge me. There was people screaming in the crowd, not cheering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Screaming.
Yeah.
Mission accomplished. That was some of the better work I've seen in a long time. And that's why like, I'm so high on Roman. I'm so high on Punk, because when they got to get to it, they're going to get to it. And once again, for me, remember, we know this was not the
option match A or B.
That they thought was going to be it 2-3 months from now. If it was, it still would have been incredible. This still would have been block A of our podcast whenever we would have potted afterwards and all that. But then knowing it's not, and that's why wrestling is so incredible, is when you can make an option B that good.
C. Option C.
D-E-F-N-G.
Yeah. No, that I mean, I got goosebumps when he said, acknowledge me. And this is like one of the perfect times. I'm not going to rag on my Puerto Rican poppy. But when you growl in your voice, like when you finally put that in there, that's the perfect time to put that in there. Like Roman didn't. And again, anybody who watched the promo would see, like you said, the inflection in his voice. There's times where he did growl and get raspy. There's sometimes where he almost cracked. Like, no, you didn't. Like, I mean, it just showed like the full layers of him as a promo in a ring. But when he hit that, oh, and you will acknowledge me. Bow down.
When it was over, I looked at you and Matt and I said, and of course, I know they wouldn't do this. I said, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't want to see
Roman
no more.
Even do nothing else in the next 2 months. Because nope. Then, you know, you can start showing your hand a little bit on who's going to win and what the story is in the match. I'm good. Fast forward me to night two right now, which, of course, they're not. My guy, Big Rome, is working. He's got five out of the next 10 Raw shows that he's going to be on.
I saw you posted on Twitter.
WrestleMania. Oh, he working. We here now.
But you don't have to. Roman, this is the only time I'm going to give you the ability to say, nope, I'm going to take my vacation real quick because you sold me. Like, again, this being really option three and some of the die is hard fans of wrestling, this being option three. I am like, this is, and when you said night two, I was kind of like, ugh, but no, really it is. Like, this is it. How can you make something that is afterthought become your marquee, the two people in the middle looking at each other on your banner? Like, again, but two people who does it really well, who do it really well. This is what we get from it. Roman, go home. Keep that mystique. Go home. I'll see you come WrestleMania week.
What'd they say? Zebros or some stupid shit like that.
Yeah, I was like.
I mean, but they hit it all.
But you get what I'm saying? And that's what I was getting at. again, there's so many times like when you are a smarter fan or you know insider things, you're like, you're doing it like the Easter eggs. You're doing it for that hardcore fan. But what they did, what Roman did was so special was that even if you didn't know that kind of stuff, you were still just as excited. Because I guess it ended with the work part. You know, I hate you. It doesn't matter like why I hate you, but I hate you and you will acknowledge me. That's the work part of all of this. And maybe that's probably why it felt so special to me on both sides, being somebody who knew some of the insider stuff and people who knew nothing. And I'm just here for the entertainment. But that was perfect.
And the reason why it was as much of a perfect promo as you could do. And this is not discounting Punk, right? I know he came out and said, you know, people are saying this is Roman's best promo. He's like, hey, look who he was in the ring with. And we know look at Punk and MJF. I still think that's MJF's best feud in history. Mm-hmm. Punk and Drew was fantastic. Punk and Seth, fantastic. So of course, Punk is him, right? But this isn't about Punk right now. This was about Roman getting his shit off and really getting into what his issues were. So he connected the dot of why I always hated you. When I came in here, you made my life a living hell. And he continued to connect more dots in that promo that was incredible. He talked about, look, it's because of me and my family that you had a place to come back to. We made this place cool again.
Woo!
And everything he's saying, you're like, yeah, he's right. He's talking. Of course, there will always be a WWE, but not at the level it was. And why was it? We always connected it to the bloodline. You connect to the bloodline and then lesser extent, Cody coming back and really taking off as that baby face. It was all that. It was every single piece of it that I felt like they really nailed. So for me, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, mission accomplished. Like I said, I'm good if you don't do anything else until then. My only hope is they didn't peak too soon.
That's why I said just stay away from each other. Stay away from each other.
Well, if he's working five Raw shows, he's
whatever.
You know,
we'll figure something out.
But we here now, you know, so I'm sitting there watching. And like I said, I'm like, if anybody who doesn't understand why Roman is the top dog, pun intended, no pun intended, just watch that. And then I got to thinking. And it's not just because of this promo. But it kind of got me going a little bit in my mind. I feel like the Shield, without a shadow of a doubt, is going to go down as one of the best factions of all time in wrestling.
Are you saying that because what each one individually bloomed?
Easily.
Yeah.
You look at everything they did together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. One of the best factions in modern time.
And that's
never going to take away from NWO,
career.
DX, Four Horsemen. It's never going to take away from those. And there's some more, too, we could, you know, talk about. But if you look at what they did together and you look at what they've done since they've split up, I don't know. Somebody could argue and say, like, hey, I'm taking Mox as the top wrestler from the Shield. And you'd be like,
sure.
Okay, I see that.
Yeah, you could see the argument.
Somebody could say, I'm taking Seth. You would say, all right, maybe that's not mine, but okay, I can see that. Of course, somebody can say, hey, I can take Roman. Look at everything he's done. Somebody may say, look, he's not my guy, but I can see that. You can't deny and take away anything that any of those three have done and can do. And I don't think from a faction perspective, there's ever been another faction. And yeah, it's a difference from three-man faction and a five-person faction.
Right?
But if you just look at everything that they've done outside of each other, I don't know if there's a better, when it's all said and done, because they're not even done yet. All three of them aren't done yet. And they're cemented already.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to go down as the best faction of all time.
I can see that. But I think also maybe we're, outside of the fact that they were Dustin, I believe, because I do believe in that kind of stuff. They were Dustin, divine intervention for the three of them. But it's also kind of where they started. They started as a group together, where NWO, correct me if I'm mistaken, but they were already individual people and they came together, correct? Is that that happened?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they already had a career and they came into a group, whereas they started as a group. Of course, in NXT, they weren't, but again, that's developmental. But as far as their first debut on main roster, they were a group. So maybe that has something to do with it too. Plus, it was Destiny.
Could be. But, man, what great stuff. Boy, I tell you. Really good stuff. They did it. And then WWE, shout out to them too. They played the video package on SmackDown. They played the video package on Raw. And they really hit all the big
pieces.
And
they did some visuals
it.
With it too. Yep. And they hit the visuals. So I was like, I like that. Yep.
Yep. So we're off and running before WrestleMania Night 2. So, I do have I do want to talk about Super Bowl. I mean, not Super Bowl, but WrestleMania. Before we get to that, though, Bron Breakker. And it seems like every damn WrestleMania, we get that untimely injury. And injuries, of course, happen all the time. There's never a good time to get injured, but there's a bad time to get injured. And it's right around this WrestleMania time.
Yeah, because you worked so hard all year to get on this main stage. And again, we've talked about this personally and even on air and over the broadcast here that we've talked that we now that there's stadium shows, maybe Super Bowl, WrestleMania may not feel as grand as it used to be back in the day because you do now have all of these other stadiums. You're like your big four pay-per-views or PLEs now are stadium shows at minimum, but it is still your Super Bowl. It is still your fourth quarter if you're a retail person. It is still the big stage of them all. So you bust your ass so hard all year for this moment. And then you get injured. So yeah, absolutely. Never a good time to get injured, but definitely there's a bad time to get injured.
Especially when you're in a high profile spot like he was going to be with Seth. Right? Like, that sucks. So he had hernia surgery. Word is it came from last Monday, the table spot. He lifted the table up, which shows you how heavy those tables are. And we know the tables are heavy because them boys don't break the way the old tables used to break. Like now, Orton does his, backdrop spot on it. Now, granted, there's also a way to hit the table where it will break, but them bad boys ain't giving the way they used to. They are not working. Those tables are
strong. There we go. They're not working tables.
Right? They are not the stupid-ass Slim Jim working tables that they keep popping out there. I still can't get over that every time I see them damn tables. But, so you had hernia surgery, and it was dictated as and reported as serious hernia surgery. So first part of it, of course, is anybody who's ever dealt with hernias or have heard of hernias, you're like, okay, that's not that bad. Hernia surgery and recovery, you do the math, and you're like, okay, well, he can still be back by Mania. Then there was another report that came out that's saying there is no timetable right now. It could be like as early as like 8 weeks up to like 6 months right now. So it's going to be interesting to see how they move forward with this. You would think maybe they give it a couple weeks to see how he's healing and what the doctors are saying and then plan Mania from that perspective. But it sucks. Just bad timing, man. Super bad timing. I've been pretty vocal on me feeling like they haven't pushed him correctly since he turned on Seth. I felt like that was the rocket strap time. Even if you wanted to put the tag titles on him and Bronson Reed, I felt like that would have been lower than what he needed or should have been at that point. But to see that, he loses the match with Punk. No problem. Okay, whatever. Still lost clean. Horrible. Doesn't get in the Rumble at all. Completely fine. If we're telling a long-term story, of course, he's
like
not winning the Rumble anyway, right?
I like the Rumble
But now
story,
if it's the point of, like, he's not even going to make WrestleMania, I kind of wonder, too, now, do you just keep Seth out? Like, that was going to be the match. Like, is there a point now of bringing Seth back just to work somebody else, either in the Vision?
WrestleMania 41 Part 2 again.
No,
go back
absolutely
to night
not.
One. Night one main event
absolutely
again.
Absolutely not.
Run it back. No, I'm against it. I'm just being hype right now. But WrestleMania night one, bring it back.
And the match
triple
was great.
Threat.
One of my favorite matches.
Triple
of the year
threat.
Last year.
Bring it
but
back.
No, yeah, we're not doing that again. So well wishes in speedy recovery.
Yeah,
to
Bron
Breakker. I saw and I was really going back and forth if I wanted to bring it up because I don't want this to come across as any shade to Obafemi. Or Bron Breakker. But somebody had put up on social media a few days ago pictures of Bron and Oba and basically saying that Obafemi is better than Bron Breakker. and the comments all agreed. Oh, was there even a thought? Oh, was there any doubt? Of course he's better, all this kind of stuff. Now, I'm not going to state if Oba or Bron is better than each other, because I think that is the dumbest comparison you can do. That would be like back in the day comparing Undertaker to somebody like Bret Hart. They're completely different characters. And that is a very, very far, but I wanted to paint that picture. You look at Oba Femi and you look at Bron Breakker. Now imagine if you flipped those two characters. The characters. So Bron Breakker mows through everybody.
Mm-hmm.
He's got the entrance. He's got
the
music.
Balls on his neck.
Oh.
The Dunkin' Donut balls on the neck.
Hey, look, if that's your thing, right? Okay, he got the balls on his neck.
Yeah.
And then you gave Oba Femi the Bron Breakker treatment. And the Bron Breakker treatment was, let's throw him in scenarios and see what he can do. The button just isn't reset because he got to the main roster. We all remember him treading water in NXT. Then we all remember, and I thought it was great, but him tagging in NXT, and we're like, why is he part of a tag team right now? And he was doing some comedy, and we're like, okay. But I knew it was like, oh, let's just see what he can do. Oba Femi didn't go through any of that. There is his first promo on NXT Level Up where he's talking to his regular voice. If that comes out right now, nah, he's not destroyed. But you look at Oba a little bit differently, right? The mystique is not there when he's very soft-spoken and he's super articulate. And Oba's one of them ones. Grateful. That's why I said this is not me discarding anything about Oba Femi. He's one of them ones I think he could be the face of the company. He's the reason why I said you're good to turn Cody Rhodes heel, is because you could slot Oba in that top babyface spot. So this is not an indictment on me thinking that Oba Femi isn't him or, you know, he's not ready for it, any of that. My thing is, I just hate when people compare people that it doesn't make sense for. They are completely different. It would be hard for anybody to not get over what the Oba Femi push, with the production of Oba Femi, with the presentation of Oba Femi. That's not Bron Breakker. Now, as of right now, do I agree that Oba is in a bigger space and spot than Bron Breakker? Yes. Do I think that Oba has really figured out who he is and Bron still has a opportunity and still a little bit of wiggle room to figure out who he is? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't forget what you've seen. And if right now they were to put Oba Femi in a tag team and gave him some comic relief, we look at Oba Femi a little bit differently.
I would say as far as who's better, I mean, it's just too early to tell. Like, there's just no, even if you could try to compare apple to orange, it's just not enough data at this point to be able to do the two of them to compare. I mean, is Oba officially not even SmackDown? Don't even answer that question. But going back to Braun at NXT, I actually thought when he was in a tag team, that was probably some of his, I don't want to say better work. I'm not saying that, but I remember before that, I remember him being like, Bron, you kind of just missing something. Like, is it because you just still down at NXT and you need to be called up? He was so stagnant and not complacent, because I don't think when you're that young, you're complacent, but it was so stagnant. And then when he wasn't attacked, I'm like, he's actually pretty interesting because you saw a different side of him. And mm-hmm. like you said, that's always going to get you a little bit farther in my book on if you have been able to play different characters, show more layers. And like you said, not taking anything from Oba, because every time I see Oba, I'm like, yo, this man, he's a god. He's a god. Like when we see Jade all the time, Jade is a goddess. But again, when you have that, the machine behind you, it's actually not even a fair question to ask. And I'm not going to answer that question because it's just too early for the two of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation of like if they gave Bron Breakker the exact template for Goldberg. Spirit Jackhammer matches over. Every single one of his matches less than 2 minutes. And then Oba comes up. Now that is a fair comparison. Yeah. If we do that. But for somebody who hasn't even been on the main roster, but 2 weeks in the 2 weeks we've seen him has been squash matches, which I thought was a horrible idea to squash the Roar Raiders. I'm all about squash matches. I love squash matches. Think there should be squash matches on weekly wrestling television. But to squash the War Raiders, who is a, I know they're not much on WWE TV, but we know what they can do. You can't take them serious anymore. And yeah, you could say on one end, but that just shows how big and great Obafemi is. You could have found two other people for him to squash on Raw.
Especially because they're like, you're an actual tag team.
And you ain't got many of them.
Is there actual, not two people just thrown together tag team? No, they are an actual tag team.
Now, I say that now. But if next week or in 2 weeks, they bleat the holy hell out of Usos, turn heel, and now we got a heel War Raiders versus Usos. Okay. I don't know if that's going to happen. And that could be the catalyst of why they turn heel. Maybe y'all forgot who we are.
Yeah.
Do that whole bit.
That'd be a good one.
You know, but yeah, I mean, so we've seen him destroy in the Royal Rumble, and then we saw him squash Kip Wilson, and we saw him, you know, no contest War Raiders. And you compare that to all the time we've seen the Bron Breakker and the 5 or 6 minute promo segments and then the long matches and et cetera, et cetera. I just think that's a wrong comparison. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
So word came out. Slow ticket sales for WrestleMania. And Triple H is concerned. This is allegedly that they're thinking about switching up some of the WrestleMania card again because the advanced ticket sales are slower for WrestleMania. Now, I have not checked. Let me check right now. Excuse me.
God bless you.
I know they're not sold out, of course. And I think they will sell out. But I'm pulling up Ticketmaster right now. I just want to see how many tickets they have kind of available for WrestleMania.
And while you're pulling that up, evidently for this to come up that they're lower ticket sales, I'm assuming they're doing this by comparison to same time last year.
Or just in general. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Just in general for stadium shows. All right. So I just clicked on the 2-night combo tickets. Okay. And I mean, not many for 2-night that's available. So let me go Saturday and Sunday individually. I mean, there's some, of course, but the majority were secondhand. WrestleMania Saturday. Okay. There's a lot for WrestleMania Saturday. Okay. There's a lot for WrestleMania Saturday by itself. And then WrestleMania Sunday by itself. There's a lot. Okay.
So what that tells me is that people who have money are buying it because they're, again, you haven't priced those people out. People who have the money, you haven't priced them out. So good, because you're getting to 2 days. And we already know by comparison to last year, they're about 40% higher than what they were last year for our exact same seats that we had last year in the individual seats with maybe someone who
It was double for the same seats we had last year.
I thought it was about 40%. Okay. Got it. Yep. So even worse. But again, that's a great way to look at that the two-nighters, which is going to be even more, are doing pretty good. I mean, those are the people that can afford those seats. That is that fan base. The individual ones. Okay,
so prices have dropped a little bit. Right now, for a one-dayer, for riser seats, which is the seats right off the floor before you get to the first level, $651 a ticket. I mean, still a lot of money, of course, because not even talking about going to both, that's $1,200. But first level seats.
Ticket?
Yeah, first level seats, you got some for $340. So I wonder if they did a price drop. But this is also, too, I can tell which sections they haven't put on sale yet. And they also got some sections they haven't put on sale yet. I bring that up because this goes back to what we talked about months ago on the podcast. And I said, I'm interested to see when ticket sales start to flatten off or to drop, if that's going to be due to creative or due to ticket prices. Because it's only one of the two is going to happen whenever that happens, right? even if that was to happen 4 years from now, ticket sales are not going to be sold out every single market you go to at astronomical prices. And every time you go to those markets, you raise the price because you got to beat last time. There's eventually going to be the pop of the bubble. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that we're at that spot right now, but I do want to ask you, if you had to pick one, and we say slow because it's WrestleMania, right? Like, I mean, they still have probably sold 30,000, 35,000 tickets per night already, right? But if you had to associate the slower ticket sales to one thing, are you attributing it to price of ticket or are you attributing it to creative?
I feel that there's a world where it's a combination and maybe not the creative. So I guess out of those two options is purely then off on the price. I think there's another element that's there that's in addition to the price is that we can get the same spectacle at other times. So I think at that part, so I'm gonna give you a third option, even though that was an option you gave me. But I think that you can get this, there's more supply that's out there. So that's the reason why I feel that the numbers are lower. But ultimately, it is just, it's expensive. It's very expensive. So if I had to say of the one of the two that you gave me is purely because of the prices of these tickets.
I agree. You know, as much as I think that WWE was down creative last year, it wasn't horrible. It wasn't horrendous. It wasn't, oh, the ship has sailed. As I said, last year it was cracks. But it's the ticket price.
Yep.
That's what it is. It's the ticket price. Because you can only continue to gouge people for so long. And it was funny because Brandon had sent us a text when we got back into town a couple days ago. And he's like, hey, are you guys thinking about going to Elimination Chamber, which is in Chicago?
Oh, I remember he sent that.
And I said, absolutely not. Due to the prices of the ticket. And I'm somebody that prior, granted, tickets have never been this high. But it was like, oh, yeah, we're going. Yeah, we're going. But like I explained to him in that text message, the ROI now is not there for the entertainment dollar. I looked at tickets and it was $500 a ticket for where we typically would sit. Yep. So now if I take you, that's $1,000. If I take Matt, that's $1,500. Take out getting to Chicago because whatever. Okay, I'm only talking about the dollar amount of getting into the arena to watch that show.
Think about my concessions.
Nothing on that show is going to equate to me spending $1,000 or $1,500 in entertainment value to say it was worth going to that show. Now, I also speak from a place of privilege where I've been to hundreds upon hundreds of shows. It could be even more than that. There's no way for me to know. But I mean, I was going to, it feels like 10 or 15 shows a year forever. So it could be more than that. But there's nothing that I could get from that show that would say, you know what, that was worth $1,000 for two. Now, if it was only me, $500, okay. But still, for $500 at the Elimination Chamber, there is nothing that can happen for me at that show where I would say money well spent when I can watch it on television and get a great experience. Because that's the dollar amount that WrestleMania used to be. And people were saying, like, man, those tickets cost too much. And it ain't like people making more money out here than what they were 5-10 years ago. It's kind of like the opposite. You know, we get back and we go to Meijer, which in Michigan, Meijer is like, you know, your main supermarket.
It's everything.
And the prices from even when we left in November, I was like, this can't be right. Like, would like a box of cereal is $8? It don't cost $8 to manufacture wheat.
Like, fake, you know, like, it's like fake cereal. But it's not even real.
What are we doing?
Cereal.
what are we doing out here? So for me, I think it's more of the dollar. So now, if you want to continue, and here's the thing, right? Now, if you want to continue these high ass prices, the creative has to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Creative has to keep up.
But even if they do, it's still going to come to a point where you're still going to not be able to sell out. But this is what they want, though. This is what they want. I mean, I think even you said, or I've seen it somewhere about with Nick Khan talking about pricing it, pretty much to paraphrase, pricing it, dynamic pricing. So that you price it high enough and then eventually you'll see it taper off. And then now you know where you're supposed to be priced at. A lot of businesses do this.
And don't help us in Vegas. It was just in Vegas last year.
In Vegas, but Vegas, you talk about the prices of Vegas.
Yeah,
I thought we just experienced that, like how expensive Vegas has come. No, there are so many like YouTube videos out there, threads out there that just talks about Vegas is just not the same anymore.
No, because you can gamble anywhere now, right? Even if it's just online.
And it had a lot to do with it. Yep, a lot.
So that's a big part of it. So now I got to come here. And the glitz and glamour ain't what it used to be. But even so, to spend, you know, four times as much money as it used to be, it's not worth it. But something to keep an eye on. But I did want to bring it up because that was a story this week. But I don't think the answer is to redo creative for WrestleMania because we don't know what the matches were.
right?
So it's outside of that sorry ass night one main event of Drew McIntyre versus Cody Rhodes. Redo that. Redo that. Because that ain't it. That's not it. It's not it. We've seen that match now four times.
Lower the ticket prices.
No, switch that match. Put the strap on Jacob or something. You know what I'm saying? Switch that match. Because that ain't it. That ain't it, Chief. What else? So you got anything around like Raw that you want to bring up before I bring up the Super Bowl question I had?
Yeah.
Because it's connected to WrestleMania too. What you got?
Yeah. I think this is going to probably be where we talk about what I learned in wrestling this week.
Oh, we got the segment early. Typically, well, you know, it's kind of about the same. All right. But you brought it up. So either that means this is really, really bad or this is really good, which is still really, really bad.
This might probably be the worst of them all.
Oh, hell yeah. What did Rhodesia learn this week in professional wrestling that everybody who watches wrestling knows?
Baby, I looked up this week watching just Raw, looked up at the TV, and I'm like, yo, the mat is black.
Get the hell out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm like, I do remember, like, production looking a little bit different since they went to Netflix. I'm like, but there's just no way. They've been on Netflix now over a year. Okay.
No way.
Full transparency, I just got over a migraine for the whole week. So I'm like, well, maybe I'm just tripping. Maybe it's just my neural electricity going on in there. It's like, I always
have you had a migraine for a year?
I didn't know this. So listen, in that moment,
that's the only way
I'm like,
this makes sense.
But listen,
in the moment, you know, you've been to Raw shows the last year.
In the moment, I said, okay. Oh, the mat is black. And I'm like, I wonder if it's always been black. That's what I was migraining then. So then I'm like, let's wait until his migraine is gone. I wake up this morning and I'm still in disbelief. So I was like, hold on. I can't really be like, this is like takes the cake. Like, I probably have to retire this segment now because this is the worst ever. So I was like, let me do my due diligence. I go back to Netflix. I pull up Raw. I pull up the episodes of 2026. Click down. I drop down. Click on 2025. Look back at all of them. They've always had a black mat.
Next week, you're going to be like, did you know they have things on the mat now?
No, I knew that. Because I said Vince McMahon is rolling over
logos?
In his grave.
Oh, I said
Vince is rolling over in his grave with those logos in the middle. Yep. So just so y'all know that Raw on Netflix, the mat is black.
And that was what Rhodesia learned this week in professional wrestling. Jesus Christ. There's no great segue from that. So the segue. Okay, I got one for you. Maybe I should have a segue. We're going to go all the way in the opposite direction. All the way in the opposite direction. Where your segment is about things that you didn't know that everybody knew. We should come up with a segment of me just patting myself on the back on shit that like comes out after I've said it, no matter like when or where it's been. And I just come up with like told you so segment kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to have music or anything like that, but...
No, no, we just play you a sound clip from WrestleMania 39. I told you so. I told you so. I told you so.
With the gunshots.
Roman. Pew, pew, pew. Letting off. I think we went off 8 minutes.
I got two of them this week. One I would have said last week, but we didn't pod after the Rumble. And it was the Ilya Dragunov comment, where people online was complaining and bitching and moaning about Brock Lesnar not selling for Ilya Dragunov. And I'm just like, as I said last week, what in the world, how, why do you think that would be the case? And Ilya Dragunov, I believe on Monday after we podcasted, or it may have been on Tuesday, took a picture that Paul Heyman had either tweeted out or put it on him in Instagram, and he used it on his story, where it talked about Brock Lesnar eliminating Ilya Dragunov was his favorite moment of the Royal Rumble. That was number one. Number two, I'm going to let this go. I'm not going to bring it up again, I promise. But Cody Rhodes said on his latest podcast that he had with, who was he on the podcast? Oh, with Jey Uso.
Yeet.
That he has pitched to WWE to bring back house shows for just once a month. One house show loop a month. I remember when they basically, in essence, killed house shows last year.
Yep.
And I was made fun of and laughed at because I was told that nobody wants to work house shows. Talent don't want to work house shows. They're not needed. And the exact reasons of why I said they were needed and the talent did want them. And no, not 250 nights a year. Of course not. But a couple times, my thing was you can run three or four a month and you can still get what you need to get out of them. Number one was talent working in front of a paying crowd to find out what works, what doesn't work, trying things out. Hey,
no replacing
me
that.
And X are going to be working WrestleMania. Let's run this. And this is what they used to do. Let's run this match for the next 2 months on house shows so we can get our timing down. We can try things out to see if we can do it. So then when the match finally happens on television, it is fantastic. Think about these talents that's working NXT. Right, they work in front of a studio audience once a week. NXT, they have a couple of house shows, but nothing like what they would need. Those young talent need time on the road like that. But it's funny because, like I said, I was told I was wrong. And damn, now you got the top guy in the company, or one of them, saying we need house shows. And he's not the only one. When they were in that house show loop for Christmas, all the top talent talked about how much fun they had and all that kind of stuff. So, yes, nobody needs to be on the road for 250, 300 days out of the year bumping and feeding. No, we don't need to be doing that. But once, twice a month, house shows are absolutely needed.
And even outside of the wrestling part of it, just the camaraderie. And that's even like what Cody said. And to validate what Cody said, when Jay was like, how Jay always get blown up. He said, well, because I only wrestle once a week. What'd you expect? So you look at that, wrestling once a week, and then you look at Cody. He's like, some of these people don't even know each other. Like, how are you working for this big conglomerate? And I say big, and it almost sounds like backwards, talking both sides of the neck. But you still one company. Heck. How do you not know these people? These are people, this is other talent. How do you not have, like, a relationship with them, even if you wanted to? Now, okay, you know when you work, there's probably people you don't want to be friends with. I get that. But you don't even have the opportunity to be able to be friends with these people because you don't see each other. So I think that every time I've been to a house show, usually around the holiday time, it was just always just fun and it was lighthearted. And again, for some of the bigger talent, maybe they don't need it per se, but they also don't work as hard as they would on Monday Night Raw or at that time, Friday or Thursday Night SmackDown. For me, when I heard that, I was like, oh, here go Matt again. Matt's going to be like, I told you so. Which you should.
Yeah.
Which you should. Talk your shit.
You know, and the thing about it, too, is not even like you made the comment. And on one, you're right about them not working, you know, harder. But it's also how you work. one, when you get over, you work differently. You work smarter, not harder. Smarter, but the big one is the bumps, right? It's the bumps. Like on house shows, you can get away with doing things, crowd interaction, some hee hee ha ha type funny joking spots where we're not doing, you know, through a table. We're not, you know, going superplex off the top rope. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not killing the bodies, where it can still be just as entertaining. And the thing about a house show is, if you've never been to a house show, you're not going to a house show for 5-star classic matches. Right? Like, that's not what you're going there for. You're going there for more of the interaction that you don't get on TV.
I told Bianca Belair I loved her at a house show, and she turned around and said, I love you too. On a low.
But she was on the sale, she didn't turn around. She kept her hair down.
She turned her hair a little bit.
Speaking of.
And that was after I spilled my drink over the. Okay, keep going.
Now, guys, shout out to Big E. Big E confirmed this week that he is retired. And of course, we could talk about Big E forever. Just a fantastic. Everything we've heard about him, fantastic guy. I was trying to find the picture that he took with Matt at ringside at that house show, which I don't know if I can find it real quick.
I do, but whatever. Actually, that you, now you, because
you can
he,
pop it in. You can pop it on YouTube.
Yeah, I remember he his tweet. Was that what you might talk about him and retiring?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, he had a few different tweets, but he just talked about that. You know, he's retiring. He knows that there's a price to pay for being a wrestler, as all wrestlers do. But you know, he wakes up right now. Pain-free, you know, no issues. He could, you know, he has a regular way of life and he loves that. He just, you know, thanked everybody that, you know, shared the ring with him, et cetera, et cetera. I remember this was probably his first WrestleMania and we were at Access. And this is when he was with AJ and Dolph.
Dolph, yeah.
And they were in the, they were doing something. I don't know. It wasn't, they may have been signing. I'm not sure what they were doing. But Big E, of course, really wasn't signing. He was just standing there. And I remember this guy was talking to him, and I think this was Big E's first Mania weekend. And he was just saying, like, man, like, I'm kind of just, like, in awe of, like, this thing is really, really big. Like, you're talking about WrestleMania. I just thought that was really cool, because here's a guy that's on television that he's experiencing it for the first time, and he's in awe. And, of course, that was, I mean, hell, 10, 12 years ago, whatever that was now, probably longer than that. But shout out Big E. You know, like, when somebody breaks their neck, you get worried, of course, about their standard of living and things of that nature. But if he's good, of course, man, I would love for him to have been back in the ring. But he said he enjoys doing the post shows. He's got some other things going on outside of, you know, wrestling. But yeah, he did confirm that he's retired. So shout out to Big E, man.
Shout out.
Yep. But somehow we got to that. Oh, I think we were just talking about house shows. Yeah, you telling Bianca that you loved her.
Yep.
So, what we need to get back to was the Super Bowl thing that I had and watching Bad Bunny during that halftime performance, which I absolutely thought was a top Super Bowl performance. And the reason why, and I saw way more positive than negative on this, but this is like art, like at its highest level. It doesn't matter you didn't understand one word if you don't understand it. You got what you need to get out of that performance. Mm-hmm. And I think not speaking English actually helped the performance for everybody who was watching, because you got so much story in that performance that maybe you wouldn't have gotten. You know, like, I've seen a lot of people talking about, well, who should be performing, you know, this performer and this artist. And a lot of the people who people are still talking about, it's like, all they would do is just stand on stage and perform music. That's it.
And half of them aren't American anyways.
There is no theatrics to it. There is no storytelling. We're not getting that performer falling through a house and then going to perform and then giving his younger self his Grammy. Like, there was just so much to it. And then if you know anything about, like, Puerto Rican culture, I say, like, they got to be so proud. You know what I'm saying? Like, the same way we were proud with, like, Kendrick performing and then hip-hop getting its stage, because it's like, hey, it's hip-hop, and typically hip-hop, you know, wasn't performing in anything outside the NBA when it was Dre, Snoop, 50, and, you know, Kendrick was on that one, Mary J. Blige, and things of that nature. But it was just so much that even me not being Puerto Rican, but, you know, knowing Puerto Ricans and knowing some of their culture, me being able to point to and be like, oh man, that's like super cool. And then being able to go online and seeing, you know, everything from every set piece, you know, about the lady who, you know, owns, you know, the spot. I mean, it was just so much good to it. But when I watched it, and during the show, they had Logan Paul backstage, and I think somebody asked me, they're like, is he excited about Bad Bunny or how excited is he? And he said he's not, and he walked away. I'm like, well, there's your WrestleMania match. That's your WrestleMania match. Yeah. If you don't want to do a singles match, I think they could pull it off for sure, especially
I think
Logan, and I think they can pull it off now. A year ago, no. But Logan has worked enough with people, and they would have enough time to practice their match, that those two could work. A singles match, the easier is probably doing a tag match, but that is by far the biggest match, they have from a crossover perspective, is Bad Bunny and Logan Paul. I know before there was talks about doing like a tag match. It may have been with Ray on one side and Dom on the other side, if I'm not mistaken, I think. But right now, you're talking about ticket sales, put that on night one, and you're going to get the outside marketing for sure on that. But I would be interested, intrigued to see that. I'm excited to see Bad Bunny back in the ring. But yeah, when I saw that, I was like, oh, okay, Bad Bunny, Logan Paul.
I'll be honest with you, I would not want to see that. I 100% get what's best for business as far as these ticket sales, drawing more eyes to the product. I see all that. I get all of that. But for me, if it's a singles match between the two of them, count me out. I mean, I pretty much count me out of most of Logan Paul matches. Just genuinely, that's just how I feel. But no, like, I just don't think the two of them in a ring, I don't think it's going to be a well-worked match. I just don't. So at that point, if I know going into it, it's not going to be well-worked. Nothing against them. It's just a matter of how long they've been doing it and their experience. If it's not going to be a well-worked match and I know that going into it, and I already don't like one of the persons, I'm definitely not going to be interested to watch it. I mean, I'm not going to watch it. I mean, I probably would, because it's Bad Bunny, if they did do it. But no, like, I'm not interested, though, at all to see them go in the ring together. Them doing a tag team match probably will be even worse in my mind. Because like you said, you are going to pull somebody like a Dom and a Ray, and we get this whole thing again. It just be super, super gimmicky. Again, knock, knock, ready. Here's your newsflash. I know that's what pro wrestling is. A lot of it is just gimmicks. This is one of those matches that you just have to sell. But for me and my fandom, count me out. Nope, don't want to see it.
What a segue. You didn't even realize you just segued. What a segue. And that segue is to, you just brought up gimmicks. I want to talk about suspension of disbelief in pro wrestling. I got to find the tweet. This was a couple weeks ago. This was before the Rumble, and this sparked me to bring it up because of a spot that happened in AEW on Dynamite a few weeks ago. And I got to find the tweet, because I tweeted about it. Shout out to Nyla Rose. So basically, if you didn't see it, it was a spot where a pile driver, J Driller to be exact, was no-sold in the match. And it started some good discourse about what should be no-sold, when should it be no-sold, suspension of disbelief, gimmicks in pro wrestling, things of that nature. I can't find it. I'll be damned. I should have brought it up. But in essence, what happened was, it was, I forgot his name in AEW. He wears a mask.
Is it Hachisero? Not him. No?
No. But I guess his gimmick is like, damn it. Let me see if I can find it. But point is, it was a spot in the match where it was a power driver. And you can look at it and say either he blocked the power driver with his hands, or he took the power driver and he immediately got up and no-sold it. And there was this conversation online surrounding, see, this is why I'll never watch AEW, because they are over there not selling pile drivers. Here we go. Found it.
I was about to say, I was almost there. Okay.
Yeah. So Nyla says, I don't know, man. If I'm watching the guy, that's an evil copy computer program of the guy. That's a fucking computer program. Doesn't do something wild, weird, unpredictable, and out of this world. That would take me out of it. But I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Are we not suspending disbelief in pro wrestling anymore? Or are we just saving that for dead, but not really, but maybe? Grave wizards or children that were burned alive, but not really, and also somehow have superpowers, even though their situation seems to be psychological? Or people that were eaten alive by zombie hordes live on television? Or people that were quite literally sat on fire and then returned to work the next week? Somebody in the comments said, I like you, Nyla, you're cool, but I'm sorry. Nothing can defend no selling a power driver. She said, hey, you don't have to like the spot. That's totally cool. Not your taste. I respect that. Honestly, in almost any other situation or just about any other person, I might even agree with you. But it totally made sense for this particular person to do it in this particular fashion, in this particular way. The context of everything matters. And then I just chimed in and said, there's a really, really good and interesting combo that can be had here, because where do you draw the line of suspension and disbelief in pro wrestling? And that's kind of what I just want to talk about really quick. So, like, she brings up an incredible point. Undertaker, Kane.
Yeah.
So many of them, right?
Yeah.
Now, I am not too familiar with that character. She explained that character to me in that tweet better than I had seen it or heard it before. I may have just missed it on AEW TV. But I think there's a point where certain moves should maybe be protected. But I really am going back and forth. Like, I don't have a good answer for it right now. I don't. And that was a couple weeks ago, and I kind of was like, you know, we'll kind of bring it up whenever we get a chance to. And I just thought it was perfect right there because you brought up, like, the character aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. And gimmicks and stuff.
Yeah. So, like, I think, and she is spot on. There's so many times, that's what we love about wrestling is the characters, a big part of it, right? Like, outlandish characters. Toni Storm right now, timeless Toni Storm. That's a absolute character in the way she talks. Now, is she out there no-selling power drivers? No. But she's still a character that can get away with things that other people can't, that you will look at and say, that's ridiculous. It's still a form of entertainment. We know that. Mm-hmm. So, like, where do you police it? Right? Like, is it up to... Is there a way that if it is constructed properly, you're good? Or is it still a perspective of no matter what, this should be protected or this should be protected? Like, where do you stand when it comes to you suspending your disbelief in wrestling? Where it's okay or where it completely takes you out of the match, the moment, and you're over it?
No, that's a layered answer response. Initially, my suspension of disbelief, sometimes, when I see a very small person versus a very big person, is such an eyesore to me in battle. David Goliath. It's hard for me to believe that that little person can really beat down that big person. Not saying it doesn't happen. So for me, in a match, in a program of two people, is really hard for me to get behind something that is that much drastically different. As you use the word jarring, is jarring to me when I see that. So that's one of the ones where I'm like, I just can't really suspend my disbelief or whatever the phrase is. As far as the move, the power driver, I get uptight and I get worked up on even over the top rope moves. I tell you that those are one of the probably the most common things we see in every wrestling match, someone going over the top rope, and I hate it. I hate it because I feel like their shoulders are about to pop out of their socket. Something super small, something super simple, a simple move that you do is about to have you out for 6 months. You always say this isn't ballet, but still. And what ballet people do is really hard. We've been in ballet. But for me, that if it's dangerous, and my fandom of dangerous is viewed a little bit differently, if it's dangerous, I don't like it. I just don't even like it. So that's going to take me out of just watching the match altogether. There's times when John Moxley will wrestle it.
You mean overly dangerous, right?
Overly dangerous. Yep. Overly dangerous. Because
a suplex is dangerous.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we're saying
hip toss is dangerous.
Correct.
If we're not talking taken right.
So you're saying a couple episodes ago, the Darby Allin spots, the ones that he has the counter for the year, those kind of spots, it kind of takes me out of it. That's where I don't want to do that. Like, no, I'm not even going to watch it. Now, if she's saying, and I'm taking it for what she's putting out there, that he is not a human, so then a power driver is not going to affect this character.
Right.
I can be okay with that. I really can be okay with that. If it's followed by telling the complete story. Now, we've been on here before and we talked about not letting things get the mileage out of certain moves. In this case here, he didn't do anything. But I can be okay with it. This is the gimmick. This is the person. There's no difference than when the Hulk Hogan used to hawk up and he could got something and he's not affected at all. That's that superhuman power in him. So there's no difference in that. Yes, maybe because it's a power driver, and power drivers at one point it was banned in WWE. But for me, I have no problem with that if that is the gimmick that they're telling. The same way that I just went on my little rant about Bad Bunny and Logan Paul. It's not my cup of tea, but I get the gimmick behind it. Okay, it was for wrestling. I can appreciate that part of it. I can appreciate that for being what that is. It's just not for me. So to kind of answer your question, the power driver move on a non-human, fine. I'm okay with that. What gets to me is even other stuff that's done. The power driver on top of a turnbuckle. That should be the final move on any match for anybody. So I don't have a problem with what she said. And I think that one comment that you made as far as like, sorry, you're not going to convince me otherwise. I get why they said that. But it's also context always matters. When we see people in their quotes and we're like, oh, we're getting irate about something they said. But how was it really used? What was that conversation really like? That does matter. And because I don't know this guy and I didn't see the move, it's hard for me to really be on the fence or be off the fence on one side or the other because of it. But I'm okay with that. You're non-human. You don't have to have the same effects as a non-human.
One thing you did see that you need to apologize to the Breakfast Club for.
Oh, no, I wanted to bring that in. I wanted to bring that in by myself.
There you go, floor's yours.
I don't need floor's nobody. Yours. I don't need nobody. Okay. Where's my camera at? It's like
the one camera,
right?
You're
right.
The one camera you have to ask where like, it's at.
Listen, where I'm talking.
Hey,
to
back up off the camera. There you go.
Okay. First
just
off,
apologize because I'm moving.
No. I got to know because I gotta be respectful. So when he went on this thing about
who's
he? Ago, he's being Kenny Omega.
Say that.
He goes
name.
On the things.
No,
Kenny,
you definitely said his
the
name.
Cleaner,
you definitely
the
said
Omega,
his name when you were like
Omega,
Kenny Omega.
Kenny,
just didn't have Kenny, it anymore.
Listen,
and I'm fine
Kenny
with
Omega.
That. Kenny
if I
Omega
can say Kenny Omega in name in Japanese, I say Kenny Omega.
I'm fine
Kenny
with
Omega.
That. Remember that whole listen, thing that you did every single
first,
time we brought up Kenny Omega's name, you disrespected Kenny Omega every single time. All I need now for you
let
just to apologize.
Me finish.
We don't need
don't,
this big
don't come into my apology.
Do.
I can make my own. I can
yeah,
make my
you know
own
what I'm
apology.
Saying? We don't need that.
Stop.
All
you
we
stop.
Need is tap
cut
tap.
His mic.
My bad.
Production. Cut his mic. Listen. Okay.
I come on, Mike.
Listen. When he first came out and it was like he's about to go against Josh Alexander a few weeks back, I'm like, oh hell no, nah. This dude is about to Josh is about to carry Kenny all the way. Like, what the fuck,
so
yo? Can he just hang it up? Can he just hang it? I get that you know, you feel great. Your body's feeling better. You're looking the best you've looked.
And I just want to say.
I'm not done with my apology.
To put this in context, before that match, I told you they're getting away from the Kenny is hurt and can't wrestle anymore gimmick. We back. I told you that before that
so
match.
So can I finish? Are you
okay,
done and can I finish? So I'm like, man, this is about to be like, come on. And you already know I don't like Josh Alexander that much style of wrestling. I like him as a wrestler. He's a great wrestler. I just don't really like his style of wrestling so much. But I'm just like, man, did they put on a hell of a banger? Like, I was like, it's been a while. Like, I've been wanting to talk about Kenny for the last couple weeks, but just other stuff that popped up. I apologize. Then he doubles back and another, I think he fought Rocky Romero, but I didn't watch that match. But then he doubles back. Squash match. El Idolo.
I say how I'm maybe that's fans why. Of squash okay. matches. Complete okay. squash, as it should have
see,
been.
I didn't see it.
Rocky Romero against Kenny Omega right now, or the storyline yeah. for Kenny, it should not have been a competitive match.
Got it.
Thank okay. you, AEW, for putting in squash matches where they make sense. Same thing with Orange Cassidy and Toni Storm. Right, yeah. to get to this hair versus hair match, they've been squashing people, as they should. Squash matches absolutely have a spot on modern day wrestling television. Go ahead, though.
Then I'm like, well, you know, every dog got one last hurrah in them, right? Homeboy came out and fought El Idolo. Kenny Omega, the gleaner, all the gimmicks that you ever had.
The who?
The cleaner.
No, that ain't what you said. The gleaner. Stand back from the camera. Sit back. Relax. Okay?
Yeah, I want Kenny to understand.
No, we're good.
My
yeah, but that's disrespectful
here.
Being somebody's face like that. You good? He's still in front of you. You ain't got to get two inches from his face to apologize.
I in do, some places, though, because that's no. Well, this is the threat of how much I love you, and I'm sorry. Listen, Kenny Omega. I, Rhodesia, have disrespected you to a level that does not deserve forgiveness. Just know, though, that I am so, so sorry from the bottom of my heart. You can still go. And when I mean you can still go, not the little, oh, you still got it. No. I almost called him the N-word. No, bro. You still him. You is still him. Mr. Kenny Omega, I salute you.
It's been some good stuff. Good job. Good job. But yeah, him and Andrade smoked it.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to shout out MJF and Brody King. Another squash match, which was the main event of Dynamite last week. Good business. Of course, we get Brody King and MJF at Grand Slam this weekend. That's good business, though. Very good stuff. Very good stuff. So Dynamite is tonight. I'm excited for that show. And then we got Grand Slam this weekend, which is going to be great. I talked about a few weeks ago. I'm not going to belabor the point. Okay. But I did talk about a few weeks ago. I watch AEW in a different lens now than I do like WWE, where mm-hmm. I'm watching just for entertainment. I don't take it too serious because I'm at a point where I'm really poking holes in some of their stuff that they're doing at times. And they've been much better at it than what they were last year. I mean, and really, you talk about jarring. What was jarring for me this past week was seeing them in Vegas at the Palms, which is where we saw an indie show at WrestleMania last year, and knowing they used to work like MGM, you know, but I think that's just, they're working their way back. Once again, wrestling is cynical. What goes up must come down. What's down usually comes up. Hopefully, if you do business right, that's all the poor work I feel like from, you know, a year plus ago in terms of mm-hmm. just creative and, you know, TV just wasn't good. So, I mean, but they're doing a much better job of it now. So, hopefully they can start getting, you know, some other buildings and some spots that have more people than that. But there was a spot with Darby Allin. And I know it's Darby Allin, right? Darby Allin always doing some crazy shit. I get that.
He's about to use up all his allotment for the year.
And I think this is not the first time Darby has been kidnapped on television.
I remember this.
Okay.
Oh, yes, you're right. I remember this.
But
suspension of disbelief here.
This is where, no, I don't care about that.
No, I'm talking about the booking of the show.
And this is where I swear I wish I could just like help out. Because AEW has so many great ideas. Mm-hmm. But they need a little bit of help of just putting it where it needs to go. And I get that maybe Tony's doing it all on his own, of course. I understand they're still young and that they're eventually going to get to where they need to get to. But, you know, for me, it'd be, damn, let's do it sooner rather than later because you have some awesome ideas. You know, I talked about just, you know, last week, the idea with Swerve and his match that he had where there was no pinfall attempt from him until he won the match. You wouldn't see that typically, but
incredible.
It worked,
that's
right?
That's incredible, yep.
So if you didn't see Dynamite, Darby gets kidnapped. Okay.
And
they don't make a big deal out of it. So we get the first match on Dynamite. And then they cut to the announcers. The announcers are like, yeah, and we got some backstage footage from Darby showing up to the arena. He's coming in on a skateboard. He gets fucking kidnapped, gets thrown in the back of the trunk. They drive away and then they just throw it to the next match. Like nothing really happened.
Like
a
the
human
next
being
match.
Just got kidnapped. That's how you start the show off. You start the show off by showing Darby Allin skate
like
into
earlier today.
The palms, mm-hmm. right? Big pop from the crowd because Darby's here. Boom. Gabe Kidd puts him in the trunk, drives off, and now the show starts off in disarray. They cut to the announcers, and the announcers are just like, guys, I don't know what happened. We're going to try to get somebody on this immediately, but Darby Allin just got kidnapped.
And
I know they say what happens in Vegas stays, like, play it up. Like,
yes.
Don't just throw that in there. Because when they just threw it in there, you want to talk about suspension of disbelief.
That's
and
what
it wasn't
because
he got kidnapped. It wasn't because he got kidnapped.
No.
It was
is it the way they
no
sold
it.
We talking about no sold. Yeah, no, like, talking about no selling power drivers. How about no selling kidnappings? So when it happened and I saw that, I can't even remember the guy who actually started the next match. I forgot it was because in the moment I was still like, Matt, did you just see what I just saw? So I know that I'm not just hallucinating, that we have a shared memory here that he just got kidnapped on live TV and nobody talking about it.
And I tried to, like, not say it out loud because I've said it, right? I tried not to say it out loud, but it bothered me so much that I was just like,
but like you said, that is such a great idea. You have so many great ideas over there. Like, that's amazing. And that's actually still really positive. Just know where to place it or do something.
Gotta know where to place it and then when to make it a big deal. Right. And then,
yeah.
You know, then the next segment was them going to the production truck. Fantastic. Fantastic. Production truck. They are enforcing their way into there. Hey, do this, do that. Incredible. But this is weekly wrestling television. Give me that thread. That
yes.
is how the show. And then show it to me again. Make it a big deal. Now, once again, if Darby Allin's getting, you know, kidnapped once a month. Remember, I went like 6 months without watching AEW TV. If this is the first time or it's the 100th time, then start by saying it happened again, guys. So let me show you how we're starting this show off.
Oh, this time Darby got kidnapped. I don't remember
That's
Darby
all.
Getting kidnapped before, but hey, whatever. The question shouldn't have been the non-human taking power drivers. It should be the no selling of the kidnappings.
Yep. Yep. I was going to bring up the Ricochet discourse, but that's like a universal topic. He had the internet in a tizzy last week. I think we'll save it for our next episode because I do want to give that some time because that's more of a deeper conversation, you know, with wrestling or without wrestling. So I'm going to hold that to the side. We'll
Sounds
hit that
good.
Next week. Yeah, because that is some good stuff. If you guys didn't see it, though, what he would basically went on a tangent. Ricochet is good for keeping his name out on social media. And he is a pro AEW. He riles them up online.
Yeah, he does.
But he basically talked about WWE killed his love for wrestling and his legacy. And then he brought in other people who's under contract right now to WWE that they've done the same for. So it was a thing because I do want to hit that. I also want to maybe talk about Ciampa in AEW too because he just had an interview where he didn't insinuate that AEW or WWE took the love away from him, but he insinuated he wants to go out here and like build a legacy. He wants to work. He wants to, you know, do his thing. So I think some of them, you know, maybe kind of cross-pollinates a little bit, but some good conversations we can have for that. So we'll save that for next week.
Too cool.
What you got?
You didn't mention about Valentine's Day. At the top of
Valentine's
the
show. Day. Oh, no, I was just saying that.
Valentine's.
No, it wasn't a question. It was a comment. I said, I'm sure men listeners are running around trying to figure this thing out. And God bless. You know, or you could do the old tried and true. Start
Which
an
is?
Argument about right now.
No, this is a little too
start
early.
Start that argument. No.
Well, when is Valentine's Day?
Today's
Saturday?
Today's Wednesday. Either Saturday or Sunday. Today's the 11th, so yeah, 3 days from now.
And guys and gals, how if you want to start the argument, the best way to start the argument, oh, this is like some deep shit right here, like cup below the belt. Tell them that you made reservations for them for February 15th. But go blow the whole shit up. They're like, what? Nah, we can't go out to dinner on the 14th. We got reservations for the
15th.
I
wasn't trying to get them to break up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get them to break up.
My bad.
Because what you can do.
Really back
see, in. All right, now I got to see. Now I got to give you the game. So it's two schools of thought with this. Okay, this is if you want to stay. Of course, if you don't want to stay, you should have started an argument a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So then you find somebody else to go out on Valentine's Day with. Okay, what you do is you start the argument now. Either you don't want to go out at all, you got to go a little bit deep into the argument.
Okay,
you got to go a little bit deep into the argument. No. That's like breaking up type thing. To tell your girl off top, we're not going out on the 14th, we're going out on the 15th. That ain't going to work. Not if you got a smart, good girl anyway. Okay, because then she's automatically going to think you're going out with somebody else on the 14th. So you can't do that. So what you do is you start an argument right around here. All right. If you don't want to go out, it's an argument that you know you're going to lose, but you know you can bounce back from. Okay?
Okay.
And you're going to have to give her something. Probably not going to be on Valentine's Day. That's fine. Or the other school of thought is you start an argument now, you make up before Valentine's Day, and then that makes what gift you do give her even more special. That one works too. Now, it depends
on
like
how
high. But
I would imagine
like,
you would already still have the gift though.
Yeah, but say I don't want to make it as big of a deal. It was, I still got you something. I got you something.
Got it. Like that one.
Right? So, I mean, there's a few different ways around this thing we call Valentine's Day. We got to figure out what we're going to do for just this weekend. I need crab legs, man.
Can you take me out on the 15th? Oh, this show is over.
Look at this fool.
Take the mic off of me. Take the mic off of me.
Look at her. It was her idea. She worked herself into a shoot. And on that note, man, we out of here. We love you guys. We'll be back next week. I got to figure this out now.